This is Pamper Chew, an individual so uniquely deranged that it's nearly impossible to list all of his eccentricities in one go. A putrid, fursuit-wearing, self-described PDF file, paranoid schizophrenic, who publicly fantasizes about sniffing kids' feet and stomping on rodents. Frankly, you will be hard-pressed to find someone as twisted and deranged on the internet. But the story of Michael Giver begins with a passion. A passion for wearing diapers. Unlike many of his diaper-clad peers, Michael never made any effort to hide his proclivities, telling all of his friends about his love for diapers, even in high school. His love for the furry ABDL, meaning adult baby diaper lover, lifestyle, was only intensified once he became active online. In 2008, when he was just 20 years old, based on his own given birth date, he was already a member of a website called Daily Diapers, where he shared pictures of his pampered exploits. Among many other man-made horrors beyond our comprehension found on his page, ranging from pictures of him in Pikachu-themed diapers to him in a full-body bunny suit, there are a few pictures where he can be seen sitting on the lap or laying on the chest of an old Asian man who looks like Gilbert Gottfried. While it took a while for it to be found, internet sleuths eventually found this man's page on the website FetLife. For those of you who are mentally healthy enough to not know what that is, it's a site where you share your strange interests and find like-minded individuals to engage in your hobbies with. Under the online handle AB Mike, his account showed that he was an elderly, submissive, pansexual man looking for college-aged guys who are slim, boyish, and looking to be babied. In his bio, he says, "I'm addicted to boyish charm and played daddy to some sincere, sweet, and adorable college-aged ABs and baby furs. I'm a longtime infantilist. I'm not seeking casual intercourse or itching to try something new. I get turned off by adult movies. I grew up in a macho and prejudiced household. I had a crappy childhood. For every action, there was a reaction. Cartoons and comics reinforced my infantile teen baby desires. They also planted seeds of fantasies involving machine control, forced regression, being bound, and helpless." Now, as weird of a bio as this is on its own, it's not as disturbing as his actual list, which includes items such as "cum in your diaper for daddy, ankles and wrists bound while I'm in a high chair, humping him while he's in a diaper, and showing my diaper waddle while in a onesie." Look, I'm trying not to judge here, but I'm just gonna give up. It's getting hard. In any event, one of AB Mike's college-aged ABs was Michael, who, according to his Daily Diapers page, Daily Diapers, bro, age played as a 5-year-old. Now, 5 is kind of late to be in diapers if you're keeping track, but I'm not really expecting too much logic from this crowd. However bold Michael was with his lifestyle, his online presence remained limited to other people in the ABDL community, at least until the creation of his YouTube channel called Pamper Chew. In September, he posted a video of himself in his bunny onesie. This is one of the first videos that got some traction. After all, it's not every day you see a grown man frolicking like a toddler while in a bunny costume, and frankly, the serial killer home video vibe doesn't do him any favors. Now, due to how unusual his attire and behavior obviously was, a brief clip of his video was featured on a piece of news about furries by G4TV, as in, on actual television. This was way before there were things like lolcow culture or even cringe compilations, when the closest things people had to that was like disorganized chatter about Jesse Slaughter or Chris Chan on various websites and forums. And because of that, Pamper Chew didn't have the opportunity to fast track his way to web celebrity via ridicule, and he only amassed a small following of people who were genuinely amazed by his bizarre predilections. But like the trailblazer he was, he persisted, dropping gems like "Day at the Park with My Daddy," which showed him playing around like a little kid in an empty park, while someone I assume is Mike records him and tells him what to do as if he were his dad. Due to how unintentionally disturbing this content was, it often got taken down for community guidelines. And this was in 2010, before any adpocalypse happened. So you know he was really pushing the envelope for YouTube's terms of service back then. But you may be asking, how? Well, in one video he backed up on a Vimeo account, Michael proved he wasn't an AB poser by not only peeing in his diapers, but also scavenging the trash for used diapers so that he could microwave them and wear them. He also talked about going to the bathroom on his stuffed animals, and then doing things with the stuffed animals, and also secretly wearing diapers in public, which is somehow the least disturbing thing in this list. Now, a good portion of this video is just spent on Michael pontificating on the joys of having his private parts come into contact with real excrement from a dumpster. I would be getting concerned about the health implications of doing this, but then again, if you're doing this, I think getting a UTI is the least of your concerns. As he posted more wonderful pictures of him engaging in some AB action, one stood out among the others. Michael in some kind of hazmat suit with blue latex gloves on. As it turns out, this was just one out of a set of photos of Michael at his workplace. While it's a mystery where exactly he worked, in the description of one of his videos from a couple of years later, he claimed to work as an acoustic engineer at a sound company. It's pretty unlikely he was lying about this, since long before that, he already had dozens of videos up on his channel where he showed the antique electronics he recovered and fixed, and it was extremely clear he had in-depth knowledge of them. It's only fitting for an adult baby furry or whatever who's obsessed with electronics to work with acoustics, seeing as he's probably acoustic himself. It's also worth noting that his knack for recovering ancient electronic stuff and his passion for wearing used diapers began to dovetail, as in a set of forum posts, he revealed that the microwave he used to heat them up, them being the diapers, is a radar range from 1971, which happens to be featured on the official Wikipedia page for the microwave oven. What a collectible item to own, were it not for the loaded diaper inside of it. By the way, in these same posts, all of his fellow ABDLs were warning users against going dumpster diving for loaded diapers, to which Michael said, "I have saved wet diapers from dumpsters for over 10 years and I've never been sick. I love the smell of old diapers and love getting them for free out of the garbage. You can microwave them really hot and kill off any bacteria and germs, then let them cool down before wearing them, or you will burn yourself. If someone wants to play with used diapers, they should be able to without everyone telling them how dangerous or gross it is. I know it can make you sick, but you know what? I've never gotten sick from it." You know you're going too far when other furries who like to wear diapers are telling you that you're gross. It's really strange because most of the electronics he repaired are so old that the parts for them aren't even produced anymore, meaning you have to be particularly smart and creative to get them working again. Yet somehow all of that intellect doesn't translate over to, I don't know, not wearing wet diapers. It's really jarring how his channel would interchangeably upload videos about vintage cell phones and his 8-inch floppy, the storage device, not the other thing, to then posting videos about Chinese diapers and splat mats. Part of his initial appeal is precisely because of how many people got into his content through his regular videos, only to suddenly have it sprung on them that the tech-savvy sleuth they're watching likes to pretend to be a baby. It's around this time that we get introduced to another character in Michael's story, Marley, a middle-aged gay man whose FetLife bio reads, "There's nothing better than changing a boy's diaper. A man of refined taste, a connoisseur of the fine arts, who just happened to be into age play, baby fur, bondage, yiffing, humiliation, and last but not least, filling his hole. Every single day, we stray further from God." Eventually, Michael followed in the footsteps of his elders and also made himself a FetLife, updating his new roleplay age as 4 years old and opening his bio with, "Do you know where your kids are? I do." While the interest section has only been saved in very low resolution, we can make out here that he's listed himself as being into ammonia diaper smell, burning diapers, crush, filling my diaper at Toys R Us, feet, and a bunch of other stuff. One notable one being rats and mice living in the landfill. I'm currently still getting over what happened to the mice in the Zooier Than Thou video, so that last item is particularly triggering for me personally. He even added a new tentative item to his list, inflation, which is also reflected in some of his pictures from around this time. While he had already been quite active in the community up until this point, it's during this period that he really hit a stride with consistently attracting new hate watchers by posting increasingly disgusting content to his online channels. For example, it's at this point that his Vimeo account got renamed to Squish Rat, as he repurposed it to exclusively him posting videos of himself squashing wet diapers. But as he rose in popularity and made the rounds in ABDL meetups and furry conventions, privately, Michael was suffering from cancer, which led many people to wish harm or even death upon him. But as daunting as his cancer may seem, he was quite confident that it wasn't life-threatening, as not only was he already undergoing chemotherapy, the specific kind of cancer he had was Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is highly treatable and curable, with more than 4/5 of all patients seeing complete recovery. And with him being a young, healthy, well, hypothetically physically healthy man with no comorbidities, it meant it was a virtual certainty that he was going to survive. Despite his health situation, seeing him go in and out of the hospital during this period, it really did nothing to stop or even slow his diaper-centric activities. If anything, it seems like the prospect of death looming over him only inspired him to enjoy his time on this earth even more intensely. As he frequently posted to the Daily Diapers forum, saying things like, "I want to dig down a little and find some old plastic diapers that have been buried for 10 to 20 years. Would be so fun to put on a hazmat suit and crawl around in these stinky piles of garbage. The smell is half the fun." What a wordsmith. His posting history includes his opinion on what kind of poo is the best, which in his estimation is the smelly kind, and he also adds that he's now making a great diaper pail in his room so that he can constantly smell diapers and just have them there so he can squish them with his feet to make them burst. I hope you're eating while watching this video, by the way, so you suffer as much as I'm suffering right now. Now, every once in a while, Michael would drop vague hints at the root of his love for diapers, such as him identifying with another user in the DD forum who was speaking about how him having intercourse with an inflatable pool toy as a kid led him to the ABDL lifestyle. In another post, he mentions that he wetted his bed well after he had already turned 10 years old, only stopping once he was 11. Now, this may seem trivial or it may seem strange, and frankly, that's all there would be to it if not for the fact that late bedwetting does have some correlation with being harmed as a child, although at this point in time, Michael made no mention of it. As a matter of fact, it seems like he deliberately avoided, or alternatively, didn't seem capable of, being candid and personal, preferring instead to harp on his ABDL exploits. For example, he proudly announces that he's begun to lose control of his bowel movements due to wearing diapers for 10 years, and adds that he doesn't worry about leaking, and in his words, just lets it overflow onto his clothes. In a different way than other diaper guys, Michael seems to really enjoy the public embarrassment aspect of all of this, purposely going into pools while wearing diapers. While it's mostly relegated to being a side attraction, Michael was still very much a furry, posting about maintaining his 6-year-old fursuit named Sandy Wolf, and once again revealing he purposely leaks all over his plushies during the night. A highlight from this epic is this picture, titled "Messy Punishment." As we can see here, the caption reads, "Punishment for using my diaper, forced to smell brother's feet as he spreads my mess all over." Now, I have nothing more to say about this. I really have nothing more to say. As previously established, Michael was testing the limits of tolerance even among his fellow ABDLs and furries, and slowly, signs that there was something more malicious underneath began to surface. For example, in 2016, this picture of Michael with a man at the Furlandia convention was scrutinized, because, as it turns out, this man is known as Evil Saib, someone who had been so vile he'd gotten himself banned from multiple furry conventions. But what did he do? Well, as far as his furry-related deeds go, he conducted DDoS attacks on furry sites he had a grudge against, organized a massive furry art pirating network, violated his FurCon bans to the point where they had to get restraining orders to prevent him from reattending, ran the r/yif subreddit, threatened to sue furry websites that documented his actions in a way he considered slanderous, and lastly, uploaded this masterpiece.
All the single furries,
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 now put your paws up.
If this isn't hair-whiteningly horrific enough for you yet, don't worry. Those are just his furry-related deeds, as he has his own personal set of completely unrelated crimes against humanity. In the early 2000s, Saib was arrested on 2 counts of coercion, 1 count of assault in the 4th degree, 1 count of harassment, and 1 count of unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. But to be completely honest, this legalese does not do the incident behind it justice. What actually happened is a bit hard to understand as far as what caused it in the first place, but based on a post made in a furry Google group, Saib's roommate Brian didn't want to take him to a gay bar on St. Patrick's Day, prompting Saib to jump on him and forcefully tickle Brian. Brian, after multiple attempts to get Saib off him, kneed Saib on his back. The post goes as follows. In return, Saib beat him, forced him into a shower, doused him with very cold water, shoved a water hose up his ass, dragged him out, made him stand at attention like a drill sergeant, then put him on the ground, pissed on him, and then tried to poop on him. And then there's a note that reads, Saib has this thing about doing that to people without warning, since he thinks everyone is his personal litter box. He then threatened to beat him some more if he didn't give over his PIN number for his ATM card, broke bottles all over the guy's apartment to keep him from escaping, and took his car keys, and then told him that if he called the cops, he would make Brian disappear. Now, it's not included in this specific post, but along with the PIN number, Saib took Brian's car keys and stole his car. According to the post, Saib and his friends went on to claim that all of this was somehow done in self-defense, or alternatively, that this was payback for Brian making Saib his sex slave. The poster adds that Saib was lucky that a sexual assault charge wasn't included because, apparently, Saib had a history with that kind of thing, as there were 4 other police reports on him, 3 of them regarding rape, and one of them from a father reporting that Saib apparently engaged with his daughter inappropriately. Unfortunately for the safety of all people in the Western civilization, he somehow got off with 3 years of probation. It's not mentioned in the post describing the incident itself, but in the case records, the confiscation of a shotgun is also mentioned. Although I'm not sure if that means it was used in the incident, or if it's just a firearm that Saib lost the right to possess due to his crimes. Unsurprisingly, this slap on the wrist did nothing to curb Saib's behavior. And despite one of the probation requirements being that Saib didn't contact Brian, he apparently continued to harass him online, although it's uncertain if this had any consequences. After his probation period ended, he went right back to doing the same things. In 2011, he was arrested for misconduct, endangering the welfare of a minor, reckless endangerment, SA, and contributing to the sexual delinquency of a minor. When confronted about it on Twitter, he said, "I screwed a 17-year-old who said he was 18 online and got busted smoking weed with her in a car." Given how much the incident with Brian was radically downplayed, we can only assume that this story is also Saib doing his best to minimize his crimes, and even then, it's not enough to really save him. Worse yet is the fact that in another tweet he made replying to someone who said that the girl was actually 15, he said, "15? I never admitted that. She was way younger than 15. Now, he could be saying this in a tongue-in-cheek manner, and the girl was actually 17 as he'd initially claimed, but when you've been convicted of being inappropriate with a minor, do you really get to say this kind of thing without people reasonably assuming you're just being sincere? The cherry on top of all of this is that, besides being a felonious child-predating ABDL baby fur, Saib is heavily against any laws that compel people with HIV to disclose it to their partners, because, of course, he has AIDS. Now, I'm not deep enough into the lore to know if he already had AIDS by the time he did what he did to Brian, but if he did, that makes all of that situation twice as terrifying, knowing that not only could those horrible things happen to you, but you might suffer with a deadly condition for the rest of your life, all because you didn't want to take your furry roommate to a gay bar. Unsurprisingly, Saib earned himself his own Kiwi Farms thread, though severely underdeveloped as of right now, already contains a testimony from someone who claims that Saib tried to get them naked on camera for him when they were just 15 years old, and Saib was in his mid to late 30s. Additionally, the thread contains proof that he is a self-admitted zoophile, but is that really surprising at this point? Now, all of this is to establish that Saib wasn't just some guy with a checkered history, but instead a known and confirmed offender and widely recognized as the ultimate arch nemesis of the furry community for well over a decade. Yet, Michael saw fit to take a friendly picture with him. This lack of concern for how even his own community perceived him indicated that maybe Michael had a darker side to him that others hadn't been privy to. Since early 2014, Michael's videos attracted a fair share of scrutiny to a certain website that he used to purchase his diapers, qualitydiapers.net, due to its alleged association with an outright illegal content website that sold plenty of illegal pictures. Now, very few people knew about this at the time, but eventually, one KF user named Throwaway9503 made a comprehensive post covering this issue. Basically, qualitydiapers.com was extremely similar to another website, which also sold catalogs of boys wearing diapers. However, this other website also included racier pictures, many of which constituted illegal content. At first, Quality Diapers seemed like exactly the same kind of business, a thinly veiled front for illegal activities involved in the sale of illegal videos. It's also mentioned in the post that the diapers are unusually cheap, but that there's a $60 price tag on unspecified paywalled content, which probably is where you would find what the website was actually set up to sell. Fortunately, it does seem like neither site is archived or up anymore, but knowing how these things work, they're probably doing the same thing under a different name right now. While it's possible that Michael didn't know about any of this, it doesn't seem like he ever cared to look into it in the first place. Given his association with people like Saib, it was clear that he didn't mind being around or doing business with that sort of people. It's after these things come to light that we see a sharp change in Michael's behavior online. In one YouTube comment exchange, he can be seen saying that he's now in a polyamorous relationship with 3 other men. Around the same time, his profile on a site called plush.yif, which was dedicated to people interested in engaging in relations with plushies, Furries was unearthed. They also found his Flickr page, which contained entire albums of absolutely revolting pictures of five-year-old rotting diapers, as well as one folder titled Plushy Love. There's probably some Resident Evil 7 mold growing on these things. I feel like we need some kind of government intervention. I know Trump is president now. Not to say that I love him, but if he could get involved in something here, he would have my vote. In early August of 2019, YouTube channel Deadwing Dork posted a video about Pamperchu, which got to over 1 million views and introduced a much wider audience to Michael's exploits. Over time, people got to wondering how Michael was paying for all of this stuff, because while he evidently did have a lot of marketable skills, it didn't seem like his employment status was stable. I mean, getting jobs of any kind must be hard when you're diaper waddling and overflowing on the reg. As it turns out, he'd been mining Bitcoin since 2013, and one KF user estimated he could be sitting on anywhere between 5 to 10 Bitcoins by mid-2018. And that's only if he started in 2013. If he started earlier than that, it could be a lot more. For context, one single Bitcoin is currently valued at over $100,000. While it's unlikely that he has millions of dollars, it did seem like he had enough money to not worry about getting work and enjoy a lot of free time. And what does he do with all of that free time? Well, besides more videos where he's burning diapers and having diapers put on him by his roommate, it turned out that during this entire time, Michael was actually suffering from serious substance abuse issues.
But I didn't start drinking until I ran out of what I have been taking pretty much my whole life. So I'm not going to use the words of the actual drug, but one makes you a tweaker and one makes you a heroin addict.
He immediately clarifies that he's talking about pills here and not any other kind of substance, which may lead you to think that he just ran out of his prescriptions. However, soon after, he adds that he got them from his connect, meaning that this unnamed person was the one who actually had gotten those pills prescribed to them, not Michael. Based on his description of these pills, he's most likely talking about ADHD medications like Adderall and opioid pain meds like oxycodone, given how commonly those drugs are prescribed to people. Michael's explanation is that in the absence of those two unspecified drugs, he turned to alcohol to soothe whatever it was that he was medicating away in the first place. This video is particularly unusual, even by his standards, to say the least. His bedroom looks disgusting and disheveled, he sounds wired up and is visibly jittery, and at one point he even starts becoming emotional, which is very much unlike him.
But that's what they keep saying, you know, the doctor's like, oh, you can't have opiates because you'll kill yourself or you'll overdose or whatever. You know what? I went through cancer. I went through a lot of things. I'm not gonna kill myself with drugs. It's pissing me off. Two things that work for me. Something that wakes you up, and something that makes your pain go away.
Earlier in the video, he mentions not having taken morphine for a long time at that point, and based on how he's behaving, it's clear that he's badly addicted to the substances he's now off of and suffering from withdrawals. But I think there's something deeper here. Michael is autistic, as per his own admission, which hardly comes as a surprise given his obsession with antique electronics and, well, no offense, but the furry diaper stuff. However, one other common aspect of autism is the difficulty in expressing more complicated emotions, especially if they're negative. If regular people can bottle up their emotions and turn to drugs to remedy their feelings, it only makes sense that someone with Michael's cocktail of conditions is much more likely to do so. It's also interesting to note that he mentions his cancer as one of the things he's already gone through, but at no point does he say that the opioid he's taking is for any cancer-related pain. At the very same moment, he mentions that he's gone through a lot more than cancer, but doesn't name anything in specific, which is indicative that whatever pain he feels is probably psychological, not physical. Besides his self-induced loose bowels, Michael seems perfectly physically capable, so one has to wonder, what's the cause of this pain if not physical? The answer, especially when you factor in that he's so developmentally arrested that he wears diapers and sleeps in a cradle, is quite obvious, although it's not explicitly stated by Michael himself, at least not yet. For the rest of the video, whenever he approaches the topic of his need for substances and his pain, he immediately sidetracks to talk about his most recent gigs, fixing expensive antique video games, and his master's degree in electrical engineering, all while he drinks a beer and frantically paces around his room. Interestingly enough, this video is quite reminiscent of the Alan Tutorial ARG, which happens to be about a developmentally arrested autistic guy who records himself in first person doing creative projects in his bedroom and occasionally cries about some past trauma that he can't bring himself to talk about, all while he slowly spirals into complete insanity. One of the biggest pieces of the Pamperchu puzzle is how he can be so comfortable and never even get defensive about his strange lifestyle. But one of the major reasons for that is that the ABD DL stuff as well as his electronics acumen, are both covers for something darker that he doesn't actually want to face. Soon after, more facets of this darker thing begin to show. He uploaded a video that almost immediately went down and took his entire YouTube channel down with it, due to the fact that it included several violations of the YouTube Terms of Service. Fortunately, we do have an archived audio version, and it shows just how badly Michael was doing at this point. For starters, the video appears to be titled, Why I Like Children, and right in the beginning, he hits us with this.
So right now, I'm hearing voices, so I put these things on my head. I put them on my head, and they kind of help. I also like holding my children, or my pretend children anyway.
Now, this is extremely concerning. His penchant for alcohol alone wouldn't be able to give him auditory hallucinations, which immediately begs the question of whether he was doing something else. He had previously alluded to smoking weed, but the likelihood that he developed schizophrenia as a consequence of that is very low, even if there is a correlation between the two in some young men. So, while weed could potentially have something to do with it since he was looking for new depressants due to his bad relationship with alcohol, it's much more likely that these hallucinations were caused by a stimulant, like meth, since the kind of psychosis it can cause closely resembles paranoid schizophrenia. Michael's definitely smart enough to realize how similar the substance can be to Adderall. Given he's already talked about having people who give him drugs, it's not all that far-fetched that he got himself some in his desperate attempt to fill the gap left by the pills he used to abuse. Within a minute of his admission of having hallucinations, he starts talking about how his Chuck E. Cheese doll, the child he's referring to in the audio I played earlier, won't eat McDonald's cheese because it's cheap and of poor quality. Unlike the many other instances of Michael interacting with his plushies that seem slightly self-aware, Michael seems like he genuinely believed his Chuck E. Cheese doll was real. And as disturbing as this audio already was, after the 2-minute mark, it takes an absolute nosedive.
Doesn't matter what my children are, I just love them. Right now, I'm craving children. Like, I really want a child, but I know I can't have that in my life right now, so I have stuffed animals. I have little Chucky. He's in a vintage diaper, which is all soaked and dirty, because I kind of like that.
Remember, he's confirmed to have a profile on a website for people who like their plushies a little too much, so this sounds particularly absurd. After talking about his children, Michael mentions someone named Steve and says that he's his adult. Soon after, it becomes clear that he's referring to the same rat doll he frequently interacts with in his video about his alcoholism. The odd thing is that it seems like the rat doll is actually a surrogate for a real person, as he mentions Steve brought him in, but then immediately diverts the topic to something else. A minute later, he goes back to explaining his fantasies.
I have a lot of friends who wear diapers when in their older age, but I guess I should just say now, I like kids. I mean, it's not in the same way you might like kids, but it's a parenting feeling. It's a something you gotta, it's really difficult to talk about. Well, did your dad or mom ever smoke next to you? I mean, I smoke next to Chucky. I know it's kind of going away as a fad, but I drive my kid in my car, which would kill you if you got in a car wreck. You know, it's kind of like that.
This is a sentiment he reiterates a few times elsewhere in the audio, and whenever he brings it up, he always prefaces it with, "This is hard to say." It's hard to gauge what exactly he's trying to get at, but it eventually becomes clearer. It's at this point that it's heavily suggested that Michael's entire infatuation with ABDL comes from not being properly taken care of as a kid, leading to him recreating his childhood in the same way he wished that it had happened. He makes sure to stay vague about it, and whenever he comes close to the topic, he gets audibly choked up and starts vocally stimming. Eventually, Michael manages to bring himself to say what the point of making this video was, and he comes clean.
I hope my audience is understanding of these predicaments. I've been watching Martha Speaks, by the way. You already know the word I'm talking about, but I'm one of those, and I would never hurt a child. I would never have sex with a child. No, I'm a different type of one of those. I won't ever hurt a child in my life. Never. Never ever. But you know what? I am one. So look around you. In my dreams, a child came floating up, and all I wanted to do is hug him. Make sure he wasn't sick. He was coughing really bad. So, once you know that they are all around you, and this is a really, really harder video to do than the drinking video. So I am one.
This is very grim, to say the least, but pairing it with every other thing that led up to this point, it's hardly surprising. What's interesting is that while basically acknowledging himself as one of them, the example he repeatedly gives is his dream, where a child floats to him and he rubs their back, along with the strong wish to keep children safe and take care of them. By themselves, these descriptions don't quite fit the bill for what he's calling himself here. Now, if I were to play an inordinate amount of devil's advocate, if he truly has other worse fantasies that he simply opted not to provide, it would make sense for him to suffer from POCD, a condition in which, typically, people who suffer that kind of abuse in their childhood obsessively think that they, too, are PDF files. But the safest thing to assume by far is that he actually is a PDF file. What's even more concerning is that he emphasizes that everyone he's friends with are also PDF files, or at the very least, are okay with it. Whatever that could possibly mean, since I don't think you can really be okay with that without being one yourself. Despite how predictable it may seem from where we stand, the few followers of Pamperchu who caught wind of this before it got taken down took this news like a gut punch. However, some of them, and probably his friends that he mentioned in the video, excused the things he said, saying that they loved him despite his flaws. After this, he went silent for some time, prompting some to speculate that he might have gone away for good, whether because he no longer wanted to be seen online or because his family committed him to a mental health institution. But as it turns out, neither of those happened, and in September, he was spotted at the Furlandia convention dressed up like a rat. 1 month later, he came back to YouTube with a new channel, as if nothing had ever happened. If anything, he was even more unhinged after returning, with one of his first videos titled, "I'm a Glitch Mouse," having him throwing a dead mouse at the camera. Other highlights include a pair of videos where he can be seen dehydrating and actually cooking a diaper by straight up electrocuting it until it melted, something that even his peers saw as a clear sign for his disregard for his own life and safety. As he conducted Dr. Frankenstein tier horror movie experiments, his house deteriorated, falling into disrepair and being subjected to his hoarding tendencies. His behavior was becoming increasingly erratic, and at one point, people noticed that there were a few items in his house that looked like quartz inserts one would use to smoke out of a rig, which further supported the meth theory I mentioned earlier. One commenter in specific claimed that Michael had recently mentioned mainlining, which is a term for injecting substances. This is even more concerning than the smoking rig hypothesis, as the danger of overdosing, among other things, tends to be a lot greater when injecting. Of course, we're splitting hairs here. He shouldn't be doing any of these in the first place, as he clearly has serious mental health problems that are compounded by his abuse. As time went on, he only became more and more deranged. His speech patterns became increasingly slurred and frantic, and his videos, well...
Hello everyone, this is Pamperchu. Today, I'm going to teach you how to flush a diaper down the toilet.
What might be even crazier is the fact that, in the comments, someone said, "This causes thousands of dollars of damage to plumbing systems and repairs and unblocking. Can't believe what I'm seeing." To which Michael said, "Do you work for American Standard Toilets? I would like to know why you are looking up diaper videos. Also, it's a federal offense to impersonate someone from an organization you don't work for. Be careful with your wording, boy pup." Now, I'm no legal eagle, but I'm pretty sure there's no stolen valor for plumbers, and you're not violating federal law by claiming you are one in the YouTube comments. It's also worth noting that, unlike the overall polite tone that his videos have, Pamperchu's comments often get quite aggressive, which led some people to speculate that the person running this channel could be someone else, and not Michael himself. But there's no confirmation of that. However, soon after this, it was revealed that Michael had been arrested for criminal mischief of the second degree, which appears to mean property damages running as low as $500. Somehow, videos continued to go up without issue on his YouTube channel, meaning he'd either schedule them to go up, which is unlikely, or, indeed, one of the people he was living with at the time was operating his channel for him. While he remained in custody, whoever was running his channel uploaded a video of him burning diapers for warmth, followed by a video of him power walking in a supermarket with a loaded diaper on. Shout out Roderick. In the meantime, it's unknown who was behind these uploads, but eventually, he came back and made a new video himself, addressing the arrest, showing his inmate ID, and explaining that he was taken in for supposedly smashing some plates and clogging a toilet, an accusation that he suggests was levied by someone who was living with him. With this minor domestic dispute out of the way, we can now go back to regularly scheduled programming. Michael is once again hearing voices.
Well, the voices in my head are pretty strong this morning. It started around 6:45. Anyway, I watched NASA TV all night.
Strangely, after bringing this up, he opts instead to spend a couple of minutes of this relatively short video covering random minutia out of his day, like him eating an entire pack of 30-something sausages. Ladies and gentlemen, the bulk has never been more back than it is right now. The Winter Arc is back!
The Winter Arc!
Eventually, he circles back to the topic of the video.
Anyway, yeah, voices in my head been talking to me all night. Actually, no, just a couple hours. But it's really annoying. And so I thought I'd sit outside and I saw the anomaly. It's just the first time I've seen it in the morning.
Again, after mentioning it, he changes the subject and this time never comes back. Interestingly, he never mentions what the voices are saying or even who the voices are, as he deliberately obfuscates and avoids elaborating on what he's going through. Just as the frequency of his auditory hallucinations was increasing and his mental health was seemingly declining, Michael announced that he was moving out to a different place, presumably because of the issues he was having with his previous roommates. Despite this announcement being paired with the title New Beginnings, it seemed like not that much had changed, since he continued to enjoy the fragrant aroma of burning diapers in his fireplace. In a spat he had with someone in the comments about this habit of his, he randomly dropped the fun fact that he had once been fisted, which is actually surprising to learn here because he listed himself as asexual on his FetLife, so not sure what that's about, but it did happen. It turned out that Michael had actually moved back in with his parents, which, all in all, is probably better than him living alone. Between the freaky people he surrounds himself with, and the people he engages in illicit activities with, and the screwed up electrical inventions he puts together, it's probably good for him to share his living space with people who presumably can rein him in and ensure he doesn't blow the house up. In not so good news, he was now living with a dog, who I'm dearly hoping he wasn't doing anything to. Meanwhile, the speculation as to what drugs he was on continued to evolve, as now some people were suggesting that instead of doing a stimulant or a depressant, he was actually doing both at the same time. This is commonly referred to by some people as speedballing, which here would be a mixture of meth and heroin, which, although yielding a very strong effect, is also extremely dangerous. Finally, in mid-April, a strange edited video went up on the Pamper Chew channel that revealed the other person who was helping Michael out with his videos, Rebel Foxy. Apparently, there were two other videos in which the connection was explained, but they're now privated or deleted. In a YouTube comment exchange, Foxy can be seen agreeing with someone who is saying that Michael needs help, but that he's better off now that he lives with his parents. Upon first glance, it may seem like Foxy could be a potentially good influence on Michael, but immediately after, it turns out that he's equally, if not even more, messed up. KF users immediately came up with a video of Foxy having audible diarrhea in his diaper, which I won't play here for the safety and welfare of your souls, but on his YouTube channel, Foxy posted censored videos of himself having his diaper changed by his, in his words, his daddy, and in their description, he redirected people to his Patreon, where the uncensored versions were being uploaded. By the way, I should note that he does all of this while doing a baby voice, which makes all of it that much more vile. As people became increasingly familiar with Foxy, he revealed that Michael had now gone into rehab, and that he had taken control of the channel in his absence, which only brought him even more scrutiny. The rest of 2020 marks a drought of new Pamper Chew content, as we only get a new picture of him every once in a while, although we did get a 4-minute video consisting exclusively of his gnarly ass feet. It would take until the beginning of 2021 for him to officially resurface, as he was contacted by a KF user through Telegram and confirmed his identity with a selfie. Interestingly enough, people immediately noticed that Michael had an icon for the Tor browser on his desktop, which made them wonder, a guy like him, with his past statements and his proclivities, what could a guy like him possibly be doing on the dark web? We can't assume anything based solely on him having downloaded the Tor browser, but it does make you wonder, does it not? Regardless of him resurfacing, he continued to be largely inactive, prompting the users following his story to retrace their steps and explore different angles of his past. For example, one user recalled that in a video Michael recorded during Halloween at his mom's house, he mentioned that his mom was also into age play and age regression. Somehow, this topic never came up again, but if that was really the case, then this poor guy might have been doomed from the start. While his Pamper Chew official channel was pretty inactive, he continued to occasionally upload to a side channel called Pamper Chew Squeak, where he announced he was now hoarding a discontinued brand of talcum powder that apparently gave women ovarian cancer. For a guy who had previously struggled with cancer, he's oddly optimistic about covering his entire body in cancer powder. It's also around this time that he updated updated his FetLife to include that he was now in a relationship with two guys named Snuggy and Marley. Now, I already covered Marley earlier, but Snuggy is a fellow adult baby diaper lover in his late 30s who identified himself as being brother of Pamper Chew. However, what's really noteworthy here is that in Snuggy's latest activity on FetLife, he can be seen responding to a thread made by one Daddy Inky, someone who is also a part of the Pamper Chew extended universe. At this point in time, very little is known about Inky, but we'll come back to him later when his relevance to Michael's story becomes clearer. Amidst Michael's shrouded whereabouts, he randomly got featured in an article about gas availability in the US. I wonder if the guy who posted this knew what he was doing, or if he just stumbled across that picture of Michael pumping gas and decided to go with it for no reason. One KF user who was frequently communicating directly with Michael through Telegram started giving the forum updates on things he said. Besides a few small reveals, such as Michael having once spent over $2,000 on a pair of diaper bags, early August marked the drop of yet another massive bombshell. An 8-minute audio of him talking in depth about pet. He begins by relaying a conversation that he had with his friend, Avery.
And that night, the first day, I was sitting in the garage in the gallery and on a couch with him, and so I said, Avery, are you a pedophile too? And he goes, oh, yeah, I guess so. But then, a year goes by and he goes, no, I hate that. I'm not into that.
Because of this exchange, he's not sure if he somehow pressured Avery into making that admission, but he speculates about it anyway.
He really does not like to talk about it, but he might be. Of course, I am. I'm open about it. I'm very good at talking about all of it. And I'm, for some reason, every friend I meet, I go, are you a pedophile? I'm a pedophile. Are you one too? And they go, yeah.
After this, he goes on to say that while PDF file isn't his preferred term for what he considers himself to be, he decided to call himself that anyway to repurpose the word. However, the conversation quickly drifts into a dark direction as he starts talking about how there's no age of consent in some parts of the world. And at that point, any semblance of vagueness completely leaves the picture.
What do I want? I want a bunch of little running around so I can feed them and change diapers and with them at night. And if they're like preteens, yeah, of course I'd be okay with, experimenting with them. I'm not gonna, not like that. But that's what children should have. Instead of the sex ed they have at public school. Oh my God, that's a disgrace. I don't see why not. Why can't a 12-year-old that's been cuddling with me all this life to, why can't we teach each other an experiment such as when kids do it with each other?
As far as anyone who still somehow followed him and wasn't a creep themselves was concerned, this was the ultimate death of his reputation. As far as anyone who still followed him and wasn't a creep themselves was concerned, this was the ultimate death of his reputation and his definite transition from lol cow to horror cow. For context, Michael is a 33-year-old drug addicted man who hears voices saying that experimenting with preteens would be better than sex ed. What's worse is that he follows that up with this.
I'm a safe space. I'm a safe adult. I do not tell on kids. I do not tattle on kids, I should say. Whenever it's ever happened to me, I just keep it our little secret. I've never actually done anything, but I have a little friend that is around 12. Well, he sure has a shining on me. He sure likes me. But we just play in the pool.
With that being said, the case of Pamper Chew has gone from extremely concerning to arrest this guy now. The fact that he's actually hanging around kids is a sign that he already has what he wants to do in mind and is preparing to do it, or worse, potentially already doing it. Rarely does a crime of this sort happen suddenly. Most times, it's someone a kid knows and trusts. And in this case, Michael fits the bill to a T. After that jarring reveal, Michael nonchalantly starts voicing his support for simulated, not safe for work art of underage individuals, going as far as to imply he's intimately familiar with 3D renders that look almost exactly like the real thing. He concludes his audio to this person by basically bragging about how much he knows about this stuff, followed by a single text message that reads, BRB Kratom. If you don't know what that is, Kratom is an esoteric Southeast Asian drug. Well, I say esoteric, but it's at like Walgreens probably, but basically a lot of people take Kratom. It's kind of a meme. Now, maybe he was joking, but knowing his penchant for substance abuse and the fact that he has Tor installed on his computer and a lot of Bitcoin, people started speculating that he was just buying Kratom online. And then when he comes back from his kratom break, he starts explaining the evolution of something.
During an ice age, when there's less food available and less mating available, a female evolved to take a child that another family could not take care of anymore. And they had a long-term relationship. Child eats less food. You can have all you want, and there's no babies, so you have a long-term relationship without having babies.
I don't have the slightest idea where he got this from, but it sounds like a case of a lot of extremely wishful thinking coming from a completely deranged freak looking to justify his deviance. With this much absurdity, you'd think that would be all, but as it turns out, he was just getting started. In other Telegram messages that soon followed after, Michael can be seen defending incest between siblings and cousins. He reveals he accidentally ran over his phone while drunk driving. He talks about how his favorite drug is meth, which he believed more people should try as it's actually beneficial, and then talks about how he got back on Adderall, which he claimed to pop all day, every day, with no intention of ever getting sober. Based on the things relayed to the forum, his family never cared to see what Michael was going through. So even if they did have some idea of his depravity, they never did anything about it. But more important than his narcotic exploits is that, among his many messages to his Kiwi Farms emissary, there was this revelation that when he was a kid, he was apparently abused by his stepbrother. Despite how long people had speculated that he suffered from some kind of childhood trauma that led to the way he was, the confirmation that this had indeed happened came in a very nonchalant and unceremonious way. In the same post, the user refers to a disturbing audio, and later on, that audio came out.
I've always wanted to I call it just to cuddle and just to smell them. I don't know what they smell like. I never had kids around me, but I want to smell them, and I just want to hold them and put them in a little diaper and hold them. That's about it. That's as far as my pedophile goes. Hey, my stepbrother molested me, and I want to dig into his face. I want to, like, you know what you did to me when we were little kids? Well, guess what we're doing now? No, it was a good molestation. Basically, he had a diaper. I was wearing a diaper, and I was like, diaper me, brother, diaper me. And whatever he did, he just mushed it onto my penis so hard. I was 8, so I probably didn't actually... I just had an orgasm. It was great. Now, when I use the word molest, I tend to think of that as just touching, not having sex. So I do like molest, but I do not like having sex. Not unless they really want to, and I know they don't.
While it definitely lived up to the description of disturbing, it once again brings to question how much of what Michael says is tainted by his self-made definitions of words. It's quite elucidating to see him trying to downplay him being abused and genuinely not understand how that kind of thing would traumatize other people. Based on the way he behaves, it seems he's convinced himself that what he went through is normal and had no effect on him, despite the fact that he's clearly mentally unwell and has to constantly be on drugs to cope with his regular life. There is an actual concept in psychology called minimization, which is essentially when people downplay their trauma, and it's somewhat related to another phenomenon called repetition compulsion or trauma reenactment syndrome, which is when people feel compelled to recreate the circumstances of their trauma to try and correct or take control over something that happened in their past. However, it's rare to see someone go so far into that mental spiral that they actually start believing that their trauma was good and that other people should also go through it. Strangely, despite these bizarre revelations, things continued to go on normally, and it seemed that no matter how absurd or vile the things Michael admitted to were, nothing was going to happen to him. In September, he made a couple of videos about his experience with cryptocurrencies, wherein he claimed he had once sold a pack of his dirty diapers for half a Bitcoin back when it was just a few dollars. It's also around this time he started documenting his process of getting and fixing up his new motorhome in the same trailer park as his parents' house. While this may seem innocuous at first, KF users eventually figured out where he lived and noticed it was less than 400 feet from an elementary school. In October, he went trick-or-treating with his mom during Halloween, and once again, Michael is explicitly taking any chance he can to be near children and interact with them. I think that's all he really cares about, since despite months going by of him working on his house, his priorities were not very well ordered. An example of which is the fact that he carpeted his kitchen, but for some reason neglected to put in a sink. As he became increasingly erratic and his motorized crack house Dallas was being christened with all of his vintage diaper trinkets, another Telegram leak hit. In his personal group chat, someone named Mr. Timmy claimed to be 15 and asked to post pictures. While some of the other people in the chat advised caution, Michael replied saying, "Oh, I can groom and touch, just do it." And he then also said the phrase, "soft makes it legal." I have no idea what this guy's talking about. Is there some kind of law in Oregon I've never heard of where, I mean, you get the idea. I'm not gonna, you know, I don't know what's wrong with him. What kind of Saul Goodman loophole bullshit is this? But for the first time, it looks like there might actually be consequences to this guy's actions, because in April of 2022, a user named Anonymous posted to KF saying, "I believe he's in jail, or something has happened to this disturbing person we call Pamper Chew." In the middle of February this year, I found his Telegram and baited conversations with him where he outed himself, detailing crimes such as dating 14-year-old boys and paying the neighborhood children to do yard work and to allow him to touch them. I collected these messages as well as other details over time, and then the holy grail came when Pamper Chew posted a video of fan mail he got, fully doxing himself at his new house. I sent all the evidence I acquired to the authorities in his local area, as well as a child safety task force tip line. I never told him my intentions and made him think I was just a fan and interested in why he is the way he is. Anyways, 3 days after the tip I made, he's no longer been on Telegram. No new videos on his channel on YouTube, so maybe he finally got busted? Hopefully, the children get justice and Michael gets some help. Eventually, this user made an update, changing his stance on Michael's online absence, considering that he might be being investigated, but not yet arrested. In the same post, he provides screenshots of his Telegram conversations, where Michael admits to the claims that he goes around his neighborhood paying kids to work on his yard. A couple of months later, Michael finally reemerged, claiming his absence was due to him having lost his phone. While he clearly wasn't arrested or in trouble with the law yet, it seems that his health was being consumed by his own lifestyle. His videos are punctuated with slight references to ongoing paranoid hallucinations, of there being government transmitters planted into his house, as well as haphazard and senseless episodes of aggression, signs of dehydration, and even some short-term memory loss. He can still put himself together enough to continue reviewing antique electronics and, diapers, but even during his quote-unquote normal videos, he can't help but keep saying insane things.
Thinking about getting a kid, next year. So, at least I got shoes ready, you know? And then the government's been spying on me again. Yeah, I think it's the FBI or the feds or whatever. They installed this and they thought I wouldn't notice. But, these are little antennas. And they go into my wall switch, so I don't know. I think they've been spying on me. I mean, I had the CPS. Nope, nothing there. I had the CPS show up. Child Protective Services. I said, "Nope. No kids here." Only the Chuck E. Cheese. But I'll get some kids here pretty soon. Hopefully. Enjoy my feet.
In another video, to celebrate the 4th of July, he sets off insecticide foggers inside his own house and lobs some baby powder around. He claims that these aren't bad to inhale, but his behavior signals otherwise.
Well, you get the point.
But of course, it's not a real Pamper Chew video until he starts talking about kids.
Just remember to recommend me, and you bring your kids over, and we'll saran wrap them. That make sure they don't, you know, make sure they stay fresh. That's a big palate wrap, you know, that's for your kids.
Again, the line between a joke and something he's serious about is really being blurred here, since over the course of his years online, he's time and time again shown his predilection for things being wrapped in plastic, environments that are completely covered in plastic, and plastic diapers. Now, he's talking about saran wrapping minors, so I'll let you be the judge of what he means by that. Another highlight from this video is when he shows the roof of his shed, which has, by my count, 11 diapers on it, for reasons an anthropologist simply could not deduce. His schizo posting goes up a notch in his video titled "Gene Splice Baby," wherein he claims that he is the product of genetic experimentation, remarking upon his facial features and the bottom of his feet as evidence of that. Soon after, he uploads "I'm a CRISPR baby" about the same subject, but this time showing that he had glued multiple $2 bills to his walls before reiterating that the FBI is watching him. Eventually, it seems that he starts to dissociate.
"I don't know what to do with Pamper Chew anymore. He keeps breaking all my stuff. I don't know what to do with him anymore. Let's try it. That's a piece of government aluminum. That's government plastic. That's government plastic right there.
The rest of the video contains more of him breaking stuff around his house and slamming objects for no discernible reason, as his mental health rapidly approached ground zero. Someone identifying themselves as the president and chairman of the Society for Pamperchu Worship posted a large cache of previously unseen images of Pamperchu to prove that they'd been in contact with him, claiming that they were willing to serve as an intermediary between Michael and the farms. Immediately, a question and answer started, with Michael almost immediately admitting to having used a site called Ink Bunny that, according to his own recollection, had lots of illegal content on it. Soon after, Michael decides to bypass his emissary and joins the farms himself to engage with the users directly. He proceeds to claim that his remark about it being legal if it's soft was just a joke he made while he was drunk. In the same post, he says he's had an enema laced with meth, but that he was staying off of it as he was on Adderall to function and be healthy. He also says that he expects his cancer to be coming back in a few years. One of Pamp's posts include him saying that a 4-year-old boy said he liked him, and when he was asked if he thought it was okay to engage with that 4-year-old, he said, "Yes, as long as it's consensual." This response obviously is extremely horrifying, and it also prompted some more questions from users. For one, he was asked why he thought that a 4-year-old could consent, and in response, he said that when he was 4, he was able to. Once again, this is another sign that he's rewritten the narrative of his own trauma in his head to make it something else instead of what it is. Horrifying trauma that made him the way that he is. A couple of days after his initial Q&A, Michael opted to get on a chat with KF members, in which he made a variety of statements ranging from interesting to downright horrifying. He claimed he had close to $250,000 worth of art and hadn't used a computer in 6 years, which is bizarre coming from someone as terminally online as he is, although he might be speaking out of his drug-addled insanity and had a homebrew definition of what constituted a computer. He eventually mentioned he held on to a backup of another diaper website, like the ones I mentioned earlier in the video, that sold catalogs of illegal content. However, this time, he also mentioned the owner of the website by name, Deeker, spelled D-E-E-K-E-R. While Deeker's sick legacy is mostly wiped from the internet, one single archive snapshot of his Encyclopedia Dramatica page has survived, where we can find descriptions of his activity that date all the way back to when websites like Something Awful were still mainstream. Here's one of his quotes. "I remember as far back as age 3 that I loved my diapers. I distinctly remember having erections every time I looked down at my diapers." Deeker's miscreants includes identifying as an 8-year-old boy, hosting hundreds of extremely lengthy PDF file fantasy stories, outright advocating for girls to abuse their younger brothers, and a whole other collection of disgusting things, including, like I said earlier, running a website that contained what was tantamount to not safe for work images of children, which ultimately led to his arrest. His Encyclopedia Dramatica article includes the news report on it, which reads, "A man known as Diaper Boy has been arrested in White City after he again showed a diaper he was wearing to children. Despite a long history of showing the diaper to children, recent attempts to charge him criminally have been frustrated because he does not expose himself. The 31-year-old man was arrested Thursday after he showed his diaper and passed out pictures of adults and children wearing diapers from a website. The man has been arrested and booked about 5 times prior. Court records show he was charged in 2008 with 11 counts of misdemeanor lewdness involving a child and holiday, but those charges were later dismissed. He registered as a sex offender after pleading guilty to similar charges in 1999 and 2000. The fact that Michael frequented this guy's website is a true sign of how these people streamline minors into their vile interests. When the conversation veered toward his early life, Michael nonchalantly admitted that he was regularly in contact with adult ABDLs when he was just 15 years old, and that even back then, he already identified as or knew that he was a PDF file. He claimed that he was forthcoming about this, even to CPS agents that went to his house, blatantly admitting it to them, but that after looking around his house and not finding anything illegal, they just left. When asked if he was racist, he said he wouldn't buy a black child at an auction, but he didn't hate all black people per se, just that he'd rather buy a Mexican instead. Lastly, he commented on his substance abuse, saying that he stuck to Adderall and Kratom after the Silk Road went down and he could no longer get his other stuff. But he did mention that he got to try Pure Fent twice. After these chat logs were dumped to his thread, people scrubbed through Deeker's old website, where many degenerate individuals doxed their own names, location, and email addresses. In response to this being brought up, Michael says, "That website is what I found as a young teen. And I met local people, and we had fun. Little old me, 18-year-old me, meeting the older guys. Many are still friends, now getting into their 70s. One time, this bitch ABDL mother and stepdad let their one-year-old baby and a seven-year-old kid to the party, and I got to play chess with the seven-year-old in the other room. But they abused him, and I didn't like it. The mom and stepdad both would wear diapers and bang each other with the one-year-old in the room, but the seven-year-old boy couldn't have any diapers. So it made me sad. I was given all his sippy cups and bottles. It makes me so mad still today that they did that. I was 18 at the time and new to meeting people, but nowadays if I see that happen, I will kick ass and call CPS. What made me more sad was that they let the boy hug all the other people and he was saving me for last, and when it was my turn, they pulled him away and went home next door. We are all pedo, but come on, we spent a fun night playing chess and I don't get a hug? Never saw him again." After this horrific story, which may or may not be true, about some kind of ABDL meeting, Michael closes it off by expressing his hope that he can spend time with kids in his house. But while this marks the last noteworthy activity of him in the thread, a brief little sideshow took place that didn't have to do with Michael himself. A post lamenting Michael's remark about a four-year-old liking him was negatively reacted to by someone named Anonymouse. This person has already been talked about in my DSP video, as he was one of DSP's moderators who turned on him and leaked all of these secret mod chat logs to Kiwi Farms. The thing is, Anonymouse happened to also be a furry ABDL who followed and engaged with multiple zoophile accounts on Twitter, including one that belonged to a minor. He also had tons of not-safe-for-work art in his Twitter likes that fell into categories like baby fur or cub, both of which are just absolutely foul, disgusting, horrible. Nuclear bomb, now! Maybe all of this has something to do with Anonymouse being upset at a different user calling Michael a PDF file. In August, Michael returned to the farms, and just like last time, a slew of new disturbing statements were made. To start off, early on in the conversation, he begins talking about being a firearms enthusiast and having friends who share this interest, followed by a cryptic mention that these friends are the kind that go into the forest and then go missing. If this wasn't ominous enough, he immediately adds that all the people he's killed so far was their fault. While it's possible that this is the kind of awkward joke he likes to make, no one actually has any idea what he's talking about here. Once this subject went nowhere, he started talking about having worked for Intel and Google, going as far as to say he was hired by YouTube as an ethical hacker to find patches. I'm not savvy with this topic, so I won't comment on how possibly true this could be, but given there's no evidence of this, and this also being the height of his paranoid schizophrenia, I'll let you be the judge of if he worked for Google and YouTube as an ethical hacker. But what is interesting is that during his supposed time working for YouTube, he said that he investigated CP from 2015 to 2016, but that he never did anything under his desk. After bragging about how ethical of a creep he was and how kids would always be safe with him, he immediately curtails it by saying that he would occasionally take a bath with them and cuddle. Part of his reasoning for his confidence that he wouldn't hurt kids is that he's not interested in any kind of intercourse, punctuating that with an admission to only having it once in his life. In 2010's edition of the Furlandia convention, with the mysterious Steve Weiland, who he later claims reverse-raped him, "I was in a fursuit laying on my back, and he shoved his butt on me and made me do it. Steve forced me in a fun way. Geez, I hate talking about it." Paired with this jarring story, Michael claims Steve made him a gene splice baby. But like usual, whenever getting too deep into a personal topic, he would make a radical subject change. Although this time, he managed to find something equally eerie to talk about. "My cancer was probably from when I did some government work when I was 5 years old with other kids. Long story that you wouldn't understand or believe. I was in a tunnel, and there were some glowing tubes, kind of green. He showed me what x-rays looks like on a tube, then we went back to the tunnel, and he and two kids smashed three of the jars on the ground. Me and my grandpa started running out of the tunnel like I was told. I felt this wave go through my body three times. We ran faster, and then closed the door like I was told to, got in the truck, and drove fast away from the place. It was fun. Me and my grandpa went home, and our neighborhood was evacuated for a day or two. Cool government people came by to measure us, and we felt better better after a day. Rubber hazmat suits with click counters. This was intentional, with his friend that worked with my family in the government. I felt a moon rock when I was 6. I didn't care much about it at the time. I remember the land that had hundreds of tunnel doors, all neatly arranged. Gravel on top and a cutting of trees. I didn't understand how special it was at the time. My name, Pamperchew Gifford, is also on the Mars rover. After saying all of these bizarre things about these things that supposedly took place during his childhood, which did not happen, he cut himself off before he could say anything else, closing his sequence of messages with, "Okay, no more showing off Pamperchew." Besides mentions of him bathing in bleach, bug bombing his house without leaving it because it's safe, and playing with lead from car batteries as a child, these stand as the highlights of the nearly 5-hour conversation that the farms had with Michael, and after that, it was just radio silence. He would only return as the end of the month approached, and unfortunately, it was in a much, much darker circumstance. But before we can get into what came out, I first have to introduce you to the Council of Evil, however hard that may be. Now, if you're at all familiar with Ethan Ralph's kill stream and the crew of misfits that hangs around that sphere of the internet, imagine that, but with even more degenerates, and you'll get the idea. There are many members of the council, so to speak. Mormon Shaggy, for example, is a schizo and self-proclaimed Mormon preacher who happens to have been excommunicated by the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Shaggy considers himself an SA victim specialist and has even worked as a youth counselor supervisor, although he got fired and eventually sued for his behavior. The court document describing his termination states, "During the termination meeting, he kept yelling and swearing at other employees. He grabbed a large knife that was on the nightstand and put it in his bag. He screamed various obscenities such as, 'F you, you fat bitch. I knew from the moment I saw you, you were a pig and a—'" As you can see, a real stand-up guy, if ever there was one. This is just one guy out of many, but if I was going to get into every single one, it would take a little bit too much time. So, for the sake of brevity, we'll focus on the members that matter to Michael's story. DJ Axel, the leader of the Council of Evil, is classified as a Norwegian neat gay furry, quote-unquote ironic PDF file, who was unknowingly recorded having a conversation with someone named Cinder, who suggested bringing Pamperchew, and someone else named Shaunus into the call. The farms provide an extra layer of context, claiming that Cinder is a baby fur who's been in the psych ward multiple times, and Shaunus is a baby fur who works at a kid's school. Eventually, Michael starts talking, and within minutes, they get into the topic of his former associate who designed diapers but was also selling pictures of kids wearing them. But of course, this comes as no shock to anyone else in the call, who are seemingly okay with that kind of behavior. Although I should note that Michael says this associate did something he shouldn't do. A few minutes later, Axel begins begging for Pamperchew to record himself using the bathroom, but fortunately for the sake of humanity, Michael refuses this one time. After a couple more discussions about diapers and intercourse and stuff, Michael cracks a joke, if we can call it that, about getting off to CP, but he immediately qualifies it, saying this.
Looking at kids' feet, like if I'm watching kids' feet, because it makes me happy to watch, is that child? No, not really, but it's doing the same thing, so I love kids' feet and kids in diapers.
As Michael briefly leaves his keyboard, Axel talks about cooking and eating rotten chicken meat. After Michael comes back, he begins talking about using the same encryption the FBI uses, and goes on to reveal he keeps a flash drive of his in a safe to prevent certain data of his from being found, adding that he believes in treating CP and Bitcoin in the same way, as far as protecting it from being found by others. A few moments later, they're all talking about buying a life-size child doll for $1,500, followed by Michael once again going over his employment history, this time adding that Google fired him once they found out he was a child predator. The conversation gets even more grim as Michael confesses to getting a VR headset and a computer to run it just so that he could interact with kids on VR chat, followed by him bragging about how many kids he gets to interact with regularly in real life.
Yeah, he's the only one that really, he's old enough to know that I like kids, and I can tell he likes adults because he hangs out with lots of like the adult men in the park. So,
to make matters worse, he was getting kids to unwittingly take part in his strange interests, filling diapers up with water and other stuff. The other people in the call were clearly egging on Michael, to which he somewhat resisted, but eventually went along with it, talking about getting himself a basement so that he could bring kids there. Afterwards, he mentions his wish of finding PDF file parents that he could hang out with, followed by this horrific exchange.
How much money would you buy my kid from me? For how much money?
Is it a boy or girl? How old? What boy. Sex? Race? How's his 1 year function?
1 year old? White?
Is he autistic?
No.
I see.
Well, you preferred if he was autistic?
Can I rent him for a week?
No, you have to
what
buy
him. What will you do to him in that week?
It's like test driving a car.
Yeah, but you can. What it's a 1 year old. You can mold their brain. How much would you buy a child for?
Oh, at most, $10,000.
If that wasn't bad enough, the other people on the call continued to ask Michael questions about this hypothetical, and eventually something came out that he clearly didn't intend to say.
Would you give the child some drugs? Would you give a 2-year-old meth?
Well, I had it at 4, but no, 2 is a little young for that. I just know I did it back then.
How do you know?
Just some memories. I'm starting to load up, and, you know, the people I knew, and they gave me a glass of water, and the water had meth in it. Yeah.
And is that the uncle which touched you?
Hmm?
Is that the person who touched you who gave you the methamphetamine?
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I can't remember exactly who gave me the water, the drink of water.
That is the guy who touched you.
Yeah, but he must have gave it to me after he... Because if he gave it to me first, then I wouldn't be able to get hard.
After a long time of him only ever admitting that a situation with his stepbrother had happened, this was, at least to my knowledge, the first time he ever directly acknowledged that an adult, someone significantly older, had done something to him in his childhood. And even here, he sounds pretty coy and resistant to the idea. But, in keeping with the Pamper Chew brand, Michael didn't respond to these leaks or acknowledge them in any way, proceeding to instead upload a variety of bizarre videos to his channel, such as I'm Going to Eat My Children, in which he dances and sniffs his roommate's feet, and Clean Your Toilet, in which he doesn't seem to be cleaning any toilets. Disappointing clickbait. As his insanity spiked up once again, Michael somehow found his way to the Kiwi Farms Telegram channel, and apparently, Telegram just gets him in a flow state where he can't keep his intrusive thoughts in anymore. After verifying his identity by providing an unforeseen picture of himself with his Chuck E. Cheese doll and a picture of his toes, he proceeds to send audio message after audio message, doing nothing but incriminating himself and revealing how much of a perverted individual he was. Not that that ship hadn't already sailed by this point, but he just keeps going. He starts off with a disturbing anti-monkey rant.
I hate monkeys, and I want to kill an animal. Well, I don't know if you guys are the Gorg people, but someone's going to come over here, hopefully, and we can take apart an animal together. I'll keep it clean. I don't care if it gets on the carpet or the walls.
Given his familiarity with obscure sites, the dark web, and Telegram, it's probably a safe bet that he's in a few monkey hate groups himself, given how much he has in common with those people. But that's not all, as he continues to share his plans for animals.
So far as I know, I think it'll be a rat or a rabbit. I think we will do a rabbit. Yeah. Or a raccoon, but I think we'll do a rabbit. And also, I'm gonna eat it. I'm not just gonna take it apart and fuck it. I want to learn. I have never done it before, but I really like that stuff. And then I'll probably cook the meat and eat it for dinner. So we're gonna have dinner together. I like hitting squirrels with my car. There's a lot of them on the island. But when you get a thump underneath your tire, it's always satisfying. If you've never done it before, I don't know. But I like the thump, the squish. Squish, squish, squish. I love crush and squish. I got to see rats get squished and shot and smacked with a shovel. I mean, I've done that.
If he wasn't on his path to becoming a serial killer yet, he certainly is now, as this is typically how actual criminals lead up to what they eventually do, by starting with small animals like rodents. He's considered the matter so thoroughly that he actually revealed the legal standards for animal cruelty in his state.
No, you can't do that in Washington because a horse... A woman killed her, but no, Oregon's still legal, it's fine, and we keep it tame.
Immediately after, he starts talking about his other thoughts, this time on children.
Rape sucks, but I like children. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a bad pedophile, I just like children. I mean, I like to cuddle up with them or, you know, hang out with them and do stuff, you know, feed them, things like that. I'm not like a raper or anything. No, I would never at best, I might come off if they wanted to do it with me. I mean, they could do it themselves or we could do it side by side, you know. I'll show him the fursuit head and stuff. But no, I'm not going to be mean. I mean, that's not mean. But I won't do anything inappropriate. That's what I should say. Oh, no, that's just a fantasy. Just because I'm a doesn't mean I'm going to do that in real life, okay? I just don't expect me to be a bad person. What I mean is I don't want to I can just play with their feet if they don't mind. But they have that on Telegram too. You can look at kids' feet all the time.
This was also another bizarre mention of Steve again in an extremely incriminating context.
Yeah, we're all I haven't seen Steve in a minute though. But yeah, he always gets new boys running through his house. So for when it was feet yummy. Oh, those are mine. So I learned to do meth with Steve, and we would both go to our own offices and play with diapers on our own. I was in jail, but it was for breaking dishes, which I didn't break. Steve was throwing dishes around the house, and I got kicked out. Anyway, I lived with him for 10 years, but he's a good boyfriend. He still loves me. He says I love you now. It takes many years to really feel love, and I have that with Steve.
Apparently, discussing Steve made him start reminiscing on his substance abuse as well.
Meth is awesome, you guys. I mean, I like to snort a line and put on some baby diapers and just squish around in my baby diapers for hours and days and days. And then after I get done with baby diapers, I like to play with electronics. Oh, I just like diapers. I love children too, so like I mix the two together. And what do you end up with? Stinky feet. I did finally got to try crack recently, but it didn't do a damn thing. So I don't know if it was real or not, but I've done cocaine when I worked at Lamb Research, but I like the meth.
Perhaps equally concerning as what he just said is his reveal of yet another one of his hobbies.
I've been building since I was a kid. I don't want to hurt people, just so you know, but my dad liked the sound it made, but yeah, we made dry ice and other types of but you know, like pipe. But we did it in a safe place, so no one got hurt.
What's worse is how these extremely disturbing audios are paired with extremely, even if unintentionally, funny ones.
I got a diaper. I bought $4,000 worth of diapers. My closet's full. I wear them. I've been wearing them since I was 14. I threw out my underwear when I was 14. Isn't like the worst word nowadays? Like you can't call someone a fat. I mean, you can say, but you can't say anymore. Anyway, I don't know. I digress.
If you thought that King Cobra was as disgusting as it got with the esoteric recipes, prepare to enter a new world of culinary hell.
No, I haven't microwaved a diaper in a minute. I cooked one on the barbecue with some barbecue sauce. That was pretty good. And then I plugged one into the wall and it smoked and it made the house smell delicious.
He even mentioned me at one point, and I'm not really sure why.
I don't know who Tom Turkey is, but I used to have a turkey named Tom. We called him Tom Turkey, Turkey Tom. I don't know who that is, though.
To hear my name come out of this guy's mouth is a life achievement I never really expected to get. But eventually, the topic became his experiences in the furry community. And this is what came to mind for him.
I always loved the smell of fursuits. At first, I didn't like that. But now, oh yeah, sweaty fursuit. I like that. His one smells like chocolate, of course. My friend borrowed mine. It was covered in and people were hugging him like they thought it was me, but there was him. So yeah, mine was just, it looked like that, but instead of chocolate, it was spoo. And people really liked that.
For whatever reason, this was followed by conversations about his standards.
Well, some children are cute and some are ugly. Sometimes they look like a monkey, but I love my little black cousin. He's cute. He's fun to hang out with and play with.
After expounding on his specific fantasies, Michael once again seemed to slip and say much more than he intended to when he began retelling two real-life incidents he had with minors. As a consequence of these disgusting audios, the moderators muted Michael permanently, putting an end to his rampage, and soon after, he left the Telegram chats he was in. But then he came back.
Okay, I'm up for breakfast. I pooped the bed. I did that on purpose. I just changed my diaper and I'm all clean and happy now. The sun's shining so beautiful this morning, so I opened all the windows.
However, once Steve came back up again, even darker things came to light.
So we signed a contract 30 years ago that he had to take care of me for 10 years, whatever. I can't go on and on about it, but I've known him for 30 years. He's 68 now. I met him when I was a toddler. He came off in the back of my Camaro. I remember getting back in the car with Steve. Now I can say this. It's been 30 years.
I liked it. I was happy. And then every time I saw him over the years when I was a kid, I was like, I forgot about you. I'm worried I'm going to forget about you. You know. And finally, when I was in my 20s, I forgot about him, of course. But then he invited me over for a date on his birthday. He built me a house. He took care of me for 10 years, rent free. So and now I'm in my own house.
Yeah.
But that's what the contract said. You had to go on one date, and if he likes you, you got to go keep going. But he has lots of boys. He has lots of boys that hang around.
Yes, my mother knows about this man. She signed the contract when I was like 4. I mean, I signed it too. But after going through the bullet points, the legal documents, yes.
After saying these things about Steve, he once again started talking about how his grandparents worked for the government and once let him hold a stolen moon rock while he was being timed, for whatever reason. The unbelievably grim implications of these stories, if true, is that Michael's parents and grandparents signed a contract with this Steve person that basically granted him a certain amount of access to Michael throughout his life. The fact that he acknowledges he spent a portion of his life with no memory of Steve whatsoever is very fitting, given that people who suffer childhood trauma often expunge certain memories and feelings. When people try to convince Michael that he was abused and should do something about it, this was his response.
I would never. Why would they turn Steve in for? The statute of limitations already canceled that. Also, I accepted that and wanted that.
Between March and April 2023, more communications between the farms and Michael went on, where he admitted to having recently overdosed on a cocktail of malt liquor and opioids, having his neighbors find him completely unresponsive and call 911. He also admitted to having engaged with 2 Rottweilers, having performed an act on a cat, and then confessed to knowing the people who had nitrous oxide canisters at the Rainforest Convention, then talked about being back on meth, which he was now regularly doing again. Last but not least, he apparently managed to solve racism.
As long as you don't use the N-word in a derogatory term, although you can do that, I think it's okay. You know, like in song, or as a greeting. Hey, I haven't seen you in a minute. You know, something like that. But when it's in a derogatory tone, that's when it's a you know, hate speech. You shouldn't do that, but I don't think it should be illegal either. Yes, like, howdy, that's a good one. I mean, you usually have to know the person ahead of time.
It's hard to keep the story of Pamper Chew tonally consistent, since every time he says something morbid, dark, or confesses to doing something evil, it's followed up with these weird zingers that almost make it hard to take seriously. However, we're immediately pulled right back into the absolute black hole that is this guy's existence, as in April, it also came out that Michael had just joined a Telegram group, which was allegedly tied to various extortionists, Zeusadists, groomers, and even real-life murderers. I'm not going to comment on the authenticity of these ties to this specific Telegram group, but given all of Michael's previous misdeeds, this is hardly impossible or hard to believe. Around the same time period, Stone Toss based one of his Flurk NFTs on Pamper Chew with the full-on bunny costume and 1971 microwave. And then Michael got interviewed by an OG lolcow by the name of Naya Okami, who's responsible for this classic.
On all levels except physical, I am a wolf.
However, the conversation between the two yielded very little in the way of new information, as Michael was mostly being asked questions that he'd already been answering dozens of times by this point.
I've been one for many years, my whole life. It's just common conversation with people.
So, would you tell somebody you met on the street that you were a...
Yeah, I have.
It never ceases to amaze me how little Michael cares about saying this stuff. This is like a retarded version of the interrogation scene from The Dark Knight or something. Like, why did you say that? Why did you feel the need to tell someone that? Why? After supposedly announcing he'd be buying a real life-size doll of a kid, developments finally slowed to a halt, leading some people to feel that Michael was coming to the end of his arc, having exhausted everything he could possibly do. But in early May 2023, another bombshell hit as a KF sleuth by the name of Weather posted a full rundown on the person who could very well be Steve, Mr. Paul Freeman, also known as Daddy Inky, which was a name we saw pop up on one of Michael's boyfriends a lot earlier in the story. For starters, his age was a match for the person Michael was describing, an ABDL furry man in his late 60s to early 70s who had known him for a very long time. Apparently, this Inky person had forum posts dating back to 2005 where he was complaining that his wife was no longer allowing him to change his kids' diapers because he was getting aroused during it. While I haven't been able to find that, the KF post provided screenshots of his FetLife account where he actually suggested Love Maps by Dr. Money as a great book to read in order to understand the ABDL lifestyle. For context, Dr. Money was a self-proclaimed sexologist who in the late 60s advised the parents of a young boy who had underwent a botched circumcision to perform a sex reassignment surgery on him and raise him as a girl. When the boy was 6 years old, John Money showed him, along with his twin sibling, adult movies, and had the two brothers perform what they saw on each other, even taking a photograph of it at one point. After years of regularly performed inspections, the boy was told the truth by his parents and immediately detransitioned, taking on the name of David. Years later, both brothers took their own life, one via overdose on antidepressant medication, the other via sawed-off shotgun. The fact that Dr. Money is cited as fundamental reading material is disturbing, to say the least. It's incredibly fucked up. Also on Paul's FetLife, we can find his interests include things like age play, diaper rash, among a lot of other nightmarish things. His Instagram is riddled with requests for boys to follow him, along with him complaining about being called a PDF file, while also acknowledging that he's interacting with minors. Now, all of this is more than enough to show you what kind of fucking freak we're looking at here. But to make all of this even worse, Paul isn't like Michael. He doesn't wear his degeneracy on his sleeve. Instead, he keeps it hidden in plain sight. Further scrutiny into his online presence showed that he had a non-ABDL Facebook, where he revealed that he was working in the U.S. Department of Commerce and is an accredited Grand Master Freemason and a Protestant minister, posting Bible verses to his page on a daily basis. By looking through the people he followed on Instagram, it could be seen that he followed over 5,000 accounts, many of which belonged to preteens and teenagers, although I'm not going to show their handles or the pictures for obvious reasons. From his evident interests in teenagers to the place where he lives, all of the information available on this guy matches that of the mysterious Steve. And given Michael has clearly expressed that he's interested in shielding Steve from law enforcement, having a fake name for who he calls his daddy would make sense. Unfortunately, as bleak as all this is, it doesn't seem like anything ever came out of it. Meanwhile, on the Pamper Chew side of things, he'd been exiled from all KF telegrams and found himself in the presence of one Doom Guy, a known Kiwi Farms lolcow. What Doom Guy wasn't aware of was that their conversation was being recorded. So he began asking Michael for .onion links, meaning websites on the dark web. While he didn't initially specify what kind of links he wanted, Michael grew increasingly frustrated at his lack of articulation, leading to this moment.
Well, what exactly are you looking for? Tell me more exactly what you're looking for. Are you looking for naked girls?
Pictures, like I said, female... ages ranging from like 14 to 17.
The one I sent you is probably the best. The one I sent you is probably the best, but you're not gonna see naked though. You're gonna see like cute girls. Like, it's okay. I mean, they're cute.
Later on in their conversation, Doom Guy starts talking about hypothetically having a secluded farm with an underground section where he could keep people in cells where they'd have to perform, in his words, or they wouldn't be rewarded with food. And strangely enough, Michael says he's been to places like that before. Despite the depths of depravity the tale of Pamper Chew had plummeted to, few people knew the full extent of it, and his activity continued unhindered for the time being. In mid-2024, YouTuber Nick Nobody released a documentary on him, mostly focusing on his bizarre diaper experiments. But at this point, that stuff had already been long surpassed by the other elements of his story that are way more egregious in comparison, however unlikely that may sound. In the same month as Nick's video went up, Michael posted a new video where he can be seen playing with his Chuck E. Cheese doll, saying that he had a fun day playing with his government aluminum and occasionally talking to his roommate Sean in the background. I genuinely cannot believe that there are this many people who are completely okay with living with this guy. Just a couple of weeks after this video went up, a KF user notified the rest of the people on the Pamper Chew thread that Michael had just posted a video of a man, presumably himself, doing something with a dead rabbit. Given how unusually horrific this was, even for Michael's standards, people immediately confronted him about it, to which he responded, saying the following.
No, that wasn't me. That's somebody else. But I will let you know it's one of my favorite videos. I've always wanted to do that.
The fact you can hear the laughter in his voice as he says these things, along with his previous admissions, leads me to think that even if it somehow wasn't him in the video, it very well could have been. It wouldn't surprise me. Ever since this happened, Michael has continued to make regular uploads to his Pamper Chew Archive YouTube account, which makes me assume that his main account has been forbidden from making new uploads. After a long hiatus and post that began in May 2024, he started uploading again in December. And as much as it pains me to say, nothing has changed, as a noticeably aging and now wrinkly Michael continues to don diapers and pajamas as he goes about his bizarre life. It's rare that someone this deranged gets to live for this long, let alone have his own place, and basically in some weird way be functional. However, Michael himself speculated that he won't live to see himself turn old, as his cancer will eventually come back. Unlike most lolcows, Pamper Chews is a story with no real takeaway, as we're basically compelled to acknowledge that even after everything, this guy will simply continue to exist alongside us. Worse yet is the fact that, as he's reminded us time and time again, he's far from being the only one of his kind. Maybe one day the drugs will claim his sanity. Maybe one day his diapers will make him septic. Maybe one day his 1971 microwave will turn the city of Beaverton into Chernobyl. With Pamper Chew, anything is possible. Anyhow, thanks for watching. Sorry I made this video. I genuinely am. I've been Turkey Tom. Thanks for watching. And until next time, leave me alone.